Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Zvika Krieger, representative to Silicon Valley and senior advisor for technology and innovation at the U.S. Department of State. Zvika, would you outline your strategic vision for this office? What are the key objectives you have sought to move forward during your tenure?
Our first line of effort is engaging that ecosystem on tackling global challenges. And so we have four priority areas that we focused on over the past year and that we've launched initiatives around. And those are on refugees, climate and clean energy, tracking nuclear weapons and stopping nuclear proliferation, and then countering violent extremism. And so for each of those four areas, we've had a big summit where we've invited about 75 to 100 different tech companies, technologists, researchers, experts in the field to see where are the gaps in those current challenge areas where current efforts are not meeting the needs, and where could technology help fill those gaps? What might the opportunities be? And in these gatherings, we would actually brainstorm ideas and then work with the participants to see which companies actually wanted to execute the best of the ideas that were generated at these workshops. So these weren't, you know, panels and talking heads and keynote speeches. These are roll up your sleeves, Silicon Valley style workshops, hackathons, design thinking sessions to really identify concrete ideas and then see who would execute it, whether it's a big tech company or maybe it's a startup in partnership with a foundation or an NGO, or maybe a university might anchor a project and then collaborate with tech companies who want to help out. And so we've done that for those four initiatives that I mentioned. And that's really our first line of effort. Our second line of effort is around thinking of helping the State Department plan for the foreign policy implications of emerging technology trends. So how might trends like blockchains and digital currencies, or gene editing and CRISPR technology, or artificial intelligence and the spread of disinformation through chatbots, or AI and automation in the future of work, how might all of these trends impact the work that we do internationally? And so, you know, what actors might it empower, new actors, what traditional actors might it undermine? Where might there be needs for international regulation or codes of norms or new international conventions? Are there bilateral or multilateral relationships in which these technologies might come to bear? And so our second line of effort has been around convening the leading experts in these topics in Silicon Valley and bringing them together with policymakers to help think through those implications and then to think about what are the right mechanisms to start engaging with the international community on those challenges. And so we've launched initiatives around those three technology areas that I just mentioned. Our third line of effort is we are here to encourage global entrepreneurship and to support entrepreneurs around the world. Silicon Valley, obviously being the global hub for entrepreneurship, we see a real foreign policy priority in terms of helping entrepreneurs around the world. First of all, as what we call economic diplomacy or our shared prosperity agenda, you know, there's a so-called youth bulge with youth unemployment rising in countries around the world. It can be a real driver for instability. And so we're trying to help promote global entrepreneurship, but also the values around freedom of expression and meritocracy and access to opportunity that are American values that we really want to promote internationally. So the cornerstone of that effort is what we call the Global Entrepreneurship Summit.
From VCs to burgeoning startups to established big tech firms, what groups do you want most to work with and partner on this effort?
Feels like almost every week there's another senior official from Washington that's coming out here. And to be honest, a lot of them don't really know why they're coming out here. And we try to put a little bit more of a strategic perspective on what's the purpose of coming out to Silicon Valley? What issues in your portfolio are relevant to engaging with the tech sector, the tech sector might be able to help you with? And then let's think about who are the right tech companies for you to meet with. Not everybody is relevant to meet with Google and Facebook and Apple. You know, there's lots of really interesting companies here that are in some ways more relevant to the work that we're doing. And so how do we broaden the aperture on who our senior officials in Washington are engaging with? And how do we ensure that there's strategic continuity so that not each time someone comes out and meets with a company, it's an entirely new conversation, but we can keep the ball rolling on a lot of our strategic initiatives. And the flip side of that coin is that there is tremendous interest from our embassies overseas to send delegations to Silicon Valley, whether it be heads of state or members of parliament or business leaders or young entrepreneurs. There's a tremendous interest for them to come out here, but our embassies don't have those relationships in Silicon Valley or the understanding of how to really make that trip, those kinds of trips, be successful. So we do spend a lot of time working with our embassies to ensure that those trips are leveraged appropriately and that we can actually connect our international visitors with people that will make their trip successful out here. So that's the sort of four areas that we focus on for our Silicon Valley presence.
Zvika, today we focus on complex, global, sometimes wicked problems, from stopping Ebola to monitoring ceasefires and improving food security, that demand innovative tech-based solutions. To that end, would you tell us more about the Hacking for Diplomacy course you lead at Stanford? What problems have you focused on to date? And more importantly, what has the State Department learned from this effort, and has it employed specific solutions?
Sure. So Hacking for Diplomacy is a new class that we launched last semester at the Stanford Engineering School, which was basically to take the lean launchpad approach that was pioneered by Steve Blank, who is Stanford's entrepreneurship guru, and say, you know, he's used that for almost a decade to groom startups, you know, both at Stanford, and it's a methodology that's been implemented across the country now through the National Science Foundation. Can we apply that to foreign policy? Can we apply that to global challenges, not just, you know, creating the next burrito delivery app, but can we actually tackle some real wicked global challenges, as you say? And so what we decided to do is go together with Steve Blank, as well as with Jeremy Weinstein, who's a former State Department official, who's a professor at Stanford, and some other great instructors from Stanford. We decided to see if we could adapt that curriculum to the State Department, and we solicited challenges from bureaus across the State Department. And at first, we were not sure whether we would even get enough to run the course. The idea is that we were going to have six teams of four students, and each team would work on a different challenge put forward by the State Department. And we were concerned if we were even going to get six challenges, because people at the State Department are so busy, as they are across the federal government, and, you know, what we call the tyranny of the inbox. And people don't have time to work with a group of Stanford students to, you know, come up with out-of-the-box innovative ideas. So we were worried that people weren't even going to respond to my request. And just through emailing my internal networks at the State Department, we generated over 30 offices submitted challenges for the course. And there was a real enthusiasm, because this is not just engaging with any students. These are particularly science and engineering and computer science students who bring a unique skill set to the table that you know, is not usually brought, you know, people who graduated from foreign service or international affairs programs, you know, they tend to be the people who, you know, that tends to populate the State Department. And so we ended up picking, we got so much interest, we ended up having seven teams in the class. And the challenges really crossed a broad spectrum, ranging from how do we improve peacekeeping operations, to how do we you know, monitor international treaties in space and decrease the amount of space debris from satellites, as, you know, the number of satellites coming out of coming into orbit are rapidly increasing. You know, looking at refugee challenges, looking at how do we combat ISIS online recruitment. And so a really diverse cross-section. And the students had to interview over the course of the semester almost 100 different stakeholders, beneficiaries, potential users of their products, so they could really have a customer-centric approach to the ideas that they generate. And each team developed some level of prototype by the end of the 10-week quarter that they presented. And it was really remarkable what these teams were able to develop and how to leverage technology in a way that people in the international affairs space are not always thinking about. And so a number of teams, their projects are actually going to be funded by the State Department, even though there wasn't a commitment ahead of time. You know, they had to see the projects first. But some of the ideas are actually going to be executed by the State Department, but some of them are actually even going to be executed by organizations like the United Nations or the International Red Cross. These ideas have generated interest beyond the State Department. And so it's a real testament to the fact that when you bring technologists to bear, even students who are not experts in the space, you can generate truly innovative ideas that that have the potential to tackle challenges in new ways.
So, Zvika, the Hacking for Diplomacy class uses the lean startup methodology and applies it to problems sourced from the State Department. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about this methodology? Why was it chosen and used? And what's the difference between this class and the Hacking for Defense class?
Sure. So the lean startup methodology has a couple of key concepts that undergird it. One is a very relentless focus on customer discovery, or as Steve Blank calls it, getting out of the building. That you don't build your list of requirements for a particular project sitting at your computer and talking to policy experts. You actually have to get out of the building and talk to who are going to be the users and figure out what are their pains and what are the gains that you can create for them. What do they experience in their lives, needs to be solved? And how can you, what are the, as they say, jobs that need to be done? And really understand their experience so that you can make a product that is actually needed by people. And a second piece of the lean startup methodology is what we call rapid prototyping and testing, building what's called here in Silicon Valley an MVP, a minimum viable product, so that rather than tinkering for months and years in a laboratory or a factory, building the perfect product, spending tons of money and then releasing it out into the world, and realizing only at that point that actually you completely misunderstood the market demand or something like that. You build prototypes or minimum viable products as early as you can in the process. In our class, we had students who were building MVPs within the first week or two, and you get them into the hands of users and you say, this is not the final product. This could be, a mock-up of a product. It could be a PowerPoint slide. It can be something you created with cardboard and scotch tape. But is this something that might be useful to you? Is this something that you would use? And if it's yes or no, why or why not? And how could we improve this? And so for our class, the students had to build a new MVP every week, test it with potential users and beneficiaries, and then come to class and present what they learned from that, and then how they're going to build a new MVP for the following week based on what they learned through their customer discovery interviews. So that's a pretty quick overview of some elements of the lean methodology. And in terms of Hacking for Defense, I would say that they're basically sister classes, Hacking for Defense and Hacking for Diplomacy. Steve Blank was an instructor for that one as well, and Joe Felter, who was one of the creators of Hacking for Defense, was also an instructor in our Hacking for Diplomacy class. And in many ways, they follow the same model, the same curriculum. Obviously, in Hacking for Defense, their quote-unquote clients or customers were the Defense Department and the intelligence community, as opposed to us, where the sponsors were the State Department. But the real difference came in that a lot of the class was what differentiates both of these classes from your typical social entrepreneurship class is that this is not just about building a product that will have social impact out in the world, but how do you deploy that within the context of a government agency? And so these students became experts in the nuances of government bureaucracy, probably no more than most people that work at these agencies. It was quite impressive what they learned over one quarter. And the difference between state and DOD, the difference between hacking for defense and hacking for diplomacy were probably as different as DOD is from the State Department. And so while a lot of the lecturers in hacking for defense spent time helping the students understand the DOD acquisition system and how to navigate all the different funding authorities and pots of money and colors of money and how do you get through the big spaghetti chart of DOD acquisitions, as a State Department, we don't have a lot of money and we don't have a sort of complicated acquisition system like that. So what we ended up spending a lot of time working with the students are is how do you get something done with nothing or with very little? How do you, how do you field the technology when you don't necessarily have a budget to buy technology? So how do you work in with other agencies? How do you work in public-private partnerships? How do you work with NGOs and philanthropies? How do you use the convening power and the gravitas and the sort of credibility and the networks of the State Department to get things done when you don't necessarily have a check to write? And so so in that ways, the classes were quite different, but they use the same underlying lean launchpad methodology.
How does design thinking work? We will ask Zvika Krieger, representative to Silicon Valley and senior advisor for technology and innovation at the U.S. Department of State, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.